Welcome to Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters is a program that examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us. Seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking to mitigate reckless and destructive development, this program aims to increase your ecological intelligence, to encourage you to think globally, act locally, and to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet.
Yeah, we are such a disposable society. We want everything quick and easy. Or we often don't think about the consequences of that. So I think things are shifting. So by us not providing disposable coffee cups, that's even if somebody, we have a mug library. So if somebody comes in wanting a coffee to go, but doesn't have a travel mug, we have a mug library so they can take a mug for free and bring it back when they're next in the area. So the people who do that are now becoming more aware of the impact of their coffee cup, disposable coffee cup. And if they don't want to take a mug, then maybe they'll think next time they're in their house to bring their own travel mug. So I think it's all about just shifting our awareness and habits and changing from a disposable society.
That's Kate Pepler. Pepler moved to Canada's East Coast and attended Dalhousie University. There she learned about environmental issues, and it troubled her that more wasn't being done to reduce waste and recycle. After a year of learning how to source sustainable items and reduce her own waste, Pepler created a website to inspire others to become more eco-conscious and began hosting workshops for people living in her new hometown, Halifax, Nova Scotia, to help them move towards a zero-waste lifestyle. Earlier this year, Pepler opened a zero-waste store and cafe called Tare, T-A-R-E, in the north end of Halifax, to provide access to zero-waste shopping and coffee. Kate Pepler from Halifax, welcome to Earth Matters. Thank you for joining us. You're the zero waste queen of Halifax, so tell us, how do you define zero waste? Let's start with that.
For sure. Yeah, so in my opinion, it totally depends on the person. My life looks very different than other people's lives. Everybody has different values and priorities. So for me personally, living zero waste means living with as little plastic packaging and single-use packaging as possible. So when I go grocery shopping, I bring my own bags. I use either refillable liquid shampoo and conditioner or shampoo and conditioner bars. I make my own cleaning products and really try to think outside of the box on different ways beyond the bring your own plastic shopping bag, bring your own thermos, and avoid water bottles. So trying to think beyond those three main ones that people are aware of into different aspects that I can reduce my waste.
Right. So what got you started down this path?
Yeah, so I came to Dalhousie. I grew up in Toronto and came to Dal in 2011, where I studied sustainability and environmental science and did a minor in marine biology. So already I was pretty environmentally conscious. I wasn't using plastic water bottles and bringing my own shopping bags and grocery shopping. But it was after 5 years of studying all the ways that humans are destroying the planet that I really started to look at different ways that I could cut down on my waste. So after graduating in 2016, I got pretty depressed about the state of the planet. It was like Trump was also just elected. It was announced in the news that the Great Barrier Reef was dead, and there was just a whole bunch of negative things. And I just spent 5 years studying all of the negative things. So I started a website called Our Positive Planet as a way to inspire myself. When I hear the doom and gloom, I kind of want to tune out and tune out the world, not really do anything. So I started Our Positive Planet as a way to seek out and share environmental success stories to inspire action. And that's how I fell into the zero waste movement. I started reading about all these zero waste shops popping up all over the world and more people choosing to live in this way. And so I started looking at different ways that I could cut down on my waste. And that's how I realized that living with less waste, it was more attainable than I thought it was. And then I also realized how hard it was to shop zero waste in Halifax. And that's where the idea for the Terra Shop was born out of.
Okay, so let's concentrate on Our Positive Planet for a little bit. It's a website, mm-hmm. still going. You've gathered mm-hmm. together a number of contributors that write articles, and I just noticed that, you know, there's three or four from the last week. So it's very current, very topical, talking about Great Barrier Reef or 3D printing or trips to Indonesia, how to do a vacation in Indonesia on zero waste. That I haven't read the mm-hmm. article, but I am definitely going to read that in a few moments. So where do you get these people to write these stories, and how do you curate them? How do you organize them so that it's impactful for people to read these articles and be inspired? What role do you play mm-hmm. in that, and how did you gather these people together?
Absolutely. Yeah, so the website started me just trying to drag myself out of the hopelessness, doom and gloom, eco-anxiety that I was feeling. And so it just started with me looking at positive news stories, and summarizing them and sharing them online, and probably just like my mom and immediate family reading. And then I posted on, Good Works, a job posting for volunteer writers. And instantly I got like a ton of responses, and a lot of the people who were writing me, it was all similar feelings. Most of them had studied environmental something in school, and were feeling hopelessness and not really sure about what to do about the current situation that we're in. Mm-hmm. So from there, kind of just snowballed. So now there's over 60 writers from all over the world. We have writers all over Canada, the States, Portugal. We've had writers from Indonesia and South Africa, Peru, all over the place. Which is really cool to see that it's not just me feeling this way, which is how it started. We're not alone. And now we have a board of directors. We got some funding to do some education and outreach. We have an intern, and we are starting to build ambassadors from around the world.
Wow.
To help spread the message on sharing environmental success stories to inspire action.
And do you feel it's making a change? Do you feel it's making a positive change? People are responding well to it?
Yeah, the response has been incredible. And I think even just what I think is so critical about it is sharing all of the good things that people are doing from different communities. So you see somebody else in another community who opened up a zero waste shop, and you're like, hey, my community could use that. And you get inspired to start that in yours, which is what happened to me. From that to cool research being done to save coral reefs or innovative technologies, I think it's really important to be sharing all of the good things that are happening amongst the doom and gloom.
Right, yeah, because a lot of environmental reporting up to this point has tended to focus on, oh, this is bad, or, you know, we've got to hold it at 1.5 degrees, then it becomes 2 degrees, mm-hmm. then where does it stop kind of thing. So it is inspiring to listen to other people, hear what other people have to say, and see what steps they're taking. Now, the default, I guess, is, as you say, you're despondent, you're reading all these things that are happening in the world, and you just throw your hands up and say, what can one person do? What can I do about this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, little old me. What can I do? So how do you get around that? How did you get around that? Obviously, starting ourpositiveplanet.com website. But what advice do you have for people to get off the couch and do what they can?
Yeah. So one of the ways that is really easy to do is, like, it's as simple as writing your government officials or businesses when you order something online, or your local coffee shop, and ask them what they're going to do to help the environment. So that's an easy step you can do. Reaching out, emailing people, emailing businesses, because ultimately there's a lot that individuals can do, like businesses and organizations and manufacturers also need to take responsibility for the products that they package and create. So that's one way. And then I'd also suggest like keeping a trash jar or trash bowl on your counter. So garbage is thrown away, but there is no away. Away is somebody else's reality. So by keeping a trash jar for a day or a week, you can see the type of garbage you're creating. And then from there, look at the reasonable ways that you are able to reduce your packaging. So maybe if you have like 50 granola bar wrappers in your garbage after a week, maybe you look at a way to make your own wrapper or buy from a local
local.
That's something that you did. You have a jar on display saying this is everything that I haven't been able to find a way to recycle or reuse. It's a big mason jar, but it's not that big and very impressive when you say, okay, how long did it take her to fill that? But so, and that inspired you to start the Tear Shop in Halifax, downtown Halifax. Tear Shop. And where does that name come from?
So when you put a container on the scale, you can tear the weight, which means you bring the numbers on the scale to zero, and then that way you're not paying for the weight of the container, you're just paying for the weight of the product.
Oh, okay. Let's get back to a bit more of the definition of zero waste. Now, there are buildings, and I've done a show on net zero energy, and the key word was net. So they produced energy, and they also used energy, and it balanced out. So the net zero came from that. But you're talking one step further. You're talking about zero, like as in nothing waste or as little as possible. So how do you get around that fact? As you say, you want to buy a granola bar, you want to be healthy and eat healthy, but it comes with a wrapper. And if not, it comes with a wrapper around the wrapper, and it came in a box around the wrapper, around the wrapper. So how do you seek those things out? And am I confusing the situation? Is it more difficult than I think? Or it just takes a bit of detective work to find out where you can get these things without the wrappers?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that we're doing, we have a coffee shop, so we don't have any disposable coffee cups in the coffee shop, and we also offer treats. So we've managed to work with some really amazing local companies in Halifax, like Schoolhouse, Gluten-Free Gourmet. Typically, all of their products arrive at stores packaged, but we've been able to work with them to get their products to us package-free. So it comes in a reusable container, and we just swap containers back and forth with them so that we're able to provide gluten-free treats. Their bakery called 24 Carats in Halifax. Same deal. We get their products in a reusable container. We just trade containers back and forth so that there's no packaging. And we're working with some others to get like energy bars and energy bites here package free as well. We also carry Banda bars, which are a vegan, gluten-free, like date nut bar. They're delicious. They typically come package. So same deal. We get them in a reusable container from them. And then first the bulk product. Some of the products that we carry come in ginormous boxes with no bag inside, depending on the product. Others come in a ginormous box with a plastic bag inside. But we found ways to reuse those plastic bags. So we do every other Monday, we do Monday meetup and cleanups. So we meet at the shop and walk around and clean up, pick up garbage. So we are reusing those bags to do those cleanups and finding other ways to reuse products.
Right. Now you touch on something. You've got a cafe, it's a store, you've got things for sale. You hold events, you hold workshops. It's also a meeting space. How do you control all that? It sounds like everything's happening all at once. So how does that work?
Yeah, everything is happening all at once. I'm tired, but I'm loving every minute of it. So right now I'm running a bunch of workshops. So we have we're doing twice a month zero waste how-tos. We're holding zero waste meetups. And I'm doing a couple Christmas ones or holiday ones. So zero waste holiday, how to make your holidays more sustainable, and a zero waste gift wrapping. So just different ways to think about wrapping your gifts and talking about different ways different ideas for gifts, maybe instead of buying the new toy, what else you could do, that sort of thing.
Right.
And then we also have like the event space downstairs where people are able to rent it out for an hour or more to host their own workshops and events.
Now, all of this sounds very impressive, but it also sounds, as you said, a lot of hard work. What support have you had from the community?
Oh, it's been incredible. When I announced the business in January, the amount of messages and support I received has been incredible, and it's just snowballed. So people come in and they're so excited that this shop is here and making living this way more accessible to Halifax. In Halifax, there's a bulk barn, but it's not easily... You can't get to it easily on a bus or walking or biking. So it's easiest by car. And it was hard or impossible to find bulk liquid shampoos and conditioners. So bringing it to Halifax, and everybody's been so excited for it.
Right. And when you started, you had an Indiegogo crowdsourcing, crowdfunding event. How did that work out?
It was beyond my expectations. It went so well, and the amount of support and attention I got from it was incredible. It was a great way to raise awareness about what we are doing, trying to do, and help with some of the funds.
Okay. And let's go back to the suppliers. How exhausting was that for you to educate them that they could deliver items without packaging? I mean, that must have taken a lot of convincing for that to happen.
Surprisingly, no. Everybody who I've been working with so far has been really willing to work with us and think outside the box. Some of them, I forget which one of them already provided treats package free to like a hospital or something like that. I forget what it was. But so they were already doing it. So it wasn't like a totally new idea for them. And if it was, they were really willing to work with us.
Are you aware of any other similar stores, cafes, workshop centers in Canada or North America? Are there others like this?
Yeah, so there is a small coffee shop that's open seasonally in Lunenburg, just outside of Lunenburg, which is in Nova Scotia, and they don't have any disposable coffee cups. They started that this summer, and they're called Point General. There's a store in Edmonton, New Brunswick, called Terra Terre. So they're a package-free bulk shop. There's a ton in, there's like New Grocery in Ottawa. There's a couple in Montreal. The Bear Market is opening up soon in Toronto. They're doing pop-ups all over the city right now. And then, of course, you have like Nada and a bunch of others in Vancouver and Victoria.
Right. So that must be encouraging.
Absolutely, yeah. And everybody, I've reached out to some of them, and everybody's been super willing to chat and share ideas, which is awesome.
Right. Can you give us a couple of zero waste cleaning tips?
Baking soda and vinegar. That's all you really need. So I use vinegar and water to clean everything from mirrors to my bathtub, toilet, counters, all of that. So I just keep... vinegar and water in a spray bottle. And I use vinegar and water with that newspaper to clean my mirrors and windows. I make my own toothpaste, so that's coconut oil and baking soda. To clean out my drains, I just pour some baking soda down the drain, pour some vinegar in it, and let it volcano for a couple minutes, and then pour some hot water down the drain.
And what do you say to the people, yeah, but I want my whites whiter than white, or it's not going to be sparkling like it says on TV? What do you say to those people?
I still find my clothes are white. And you can add like baking soda to your load of laundry, or like rub it into your whites if you're worried about them getting stained. I've done like use that as a stain remover. There's also package-free stain remover bars that you can buy. And those work really well. And then I haven't noticed any issues with my dishes not being sparkly clean. And I actually learned the newspaper trick for cleaning windows and mirrors from a restaurant I worked in years ago. So it works.
Yeah. And it's funny how things that they used 100 years ago still work today, and they didn't need all this
exactly
fancy detergents and cleansers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what kind of workshops do you have? What you talked about the how-to workshop or how-to sessions on zero waste. Do you bring in guests to talk about different topics, or are you the sole person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm just doing the zero waste ones right now, but very willing to work with local people because I'm not an expert on anything by any means. So bringing in people to host workshops on other things would be fantastic, like fermentation or composting, et cetera.
How long have you been open, and what lies down for the future?
So we've been open since October 3rd we opened.
Okay, so that's not too long, so that's great.
No, it's been like a month and a half now.
Response has been positive. I read somewhere that the average person, their waste per capita is around 400 kilograms a year. Sounds mind-boggling, really, but does that surprise you, that figure?
Yeah, we are such a disposable society. We want everything quick and easy, or we often don't think about the consequences of that. So I think things are shifting. So by us not providing disposable coffee cups, that's even if somebody, we have a mug library. So if somebody comes in wanting a coffee to go, but doesn't have a travel mug, we have a mug library so they can take a mug for free and bring it back when they're next in the area. So the people who do that are now becoming more aware of the impact of their coffee cup, disposable coffee cup. And if they don't want to take a mug, then maybe they'll think next time they're in their house to bring their own travel mug. So I think it's all about just shifting our awareness and habits and changing from a disposable society.
Is the fact that you're living in Halifax, which is on the ocean, on the Atlantic Ocean, is that a factor as far as your concern for the coral reefs and the ocean as well as what's land-based?
I would say absolutely not. This is definitely a global issue. Like I said, there's no way. So when somebody in the prairies throws something away or the mountains throw something away, it goes somewhere. A lot of the garbage ends up in the ocean, even if you are living not on the ocean. And plastics is like a worldwide issue, not just a coastal issue. I think we need the ocean. We cannot survive without it. It provides us with oxygen. And I think everybody needs to become more aware of that and more aware of their impacts on the ocean.
Right. Okay. Well, you've got a busy schedule. Your store cafe is open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and on Saturday and Sunday as well. Sounds like you're a busy person. Kate, thank you very much for joining us on Earth Matters. Any last words for our listeners?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I'm always willing to chat and share ideas. There's also a ton of resources on ourpositiveplanet.com and thetareshop.com for tips and tricks to live more sustainably.
All right.